right, welcome back, everybody. Here we are once again after another thrilling episode of Survivor. No Dom this week. Dom is going to be back next week. We're going to talk in probably substantially more detail than we get into here on today's podcast about this two-part kind of Survivor saga, maybe a journey of our own that we have been going on and will continue to go on this coming Wednesday, but did think that this was a pertinent time to check in with my great friend in real life, who is a longtime casual Survivor fan. She's been on the podcast many times before at this point. Let's welcome back the People's Champ, Casual Anna. Anna, how are you doing?
Hello. I'm good. I do have a quick clarifying question that I meant to ask earlier, but, you know, live recording is fine. You said it was a two-part episode, but only one part has aired, right?
Yes.
Okay. I was like, immediately. Okay.
No, okay. There was an entire second hour that you just weren't aware of yet. No, yes, it is. Part one aired on this past Wednesday, and Jeff made a point to like say to the camera, this is going to be a two-part episode. No one's getting voted out tonight. And so this coming Wednesday, a couple days from now, and I'm sure you'll watch it on like Saturday or whatever, we will finally get some sort of elimination. But actually, to kind of set all this up quickly, Anna, I think we can at least hopefully not get too bogged down in the specifics of everything that just went on in this merge episode, if we even want to call it that.
We literally can't because I have no idea what just happened.
Okay, very fair. I think it would be a good spot to just kind of get your perspective on some of the many changes that have been made here now in season 41. We truly have dropped the four and kept the one and really entered a new era here. And Anna, as always, I feel kind of patronizing setting this up in describing why I find your perspective so valuable. But like, I firmly believe, and perhaps now more so than ever before, that what Dom and I have to say, what Survivor Twitter has to say, what Reddit has to say, is more or less not entirely irrelevant to like Jeff and to CBS and whatever other powers that be. But I think there's no question at all, and I think they're right for feeling this way, that the casual fan reaction is far more important than the super fan reaction. Like, super fans are, for the most part, overwhelmingly just locked in. You can put pretty much anything in front of people like us, and as long as you call it us, not meaning you, us meaning like me and Dom, as long as you call it Survivor, all of Survivor Twitter is going to be just grateful to have anything on the air that's called Survivor, especially after such a long break. Whereas, you know, if the casual fan is not so into whatever changes get made, I think they're far more liable to just stop watching. So again, this may be the all-time most important point in Survivor history to get an accurate gauge on how those folks are thinking, and love having you in here, willing to do this with me yet again. So let's start with overall.
Yeah, absolutely no pressure, huh?
Yes, you speak for the people.
Perfect.
Overall, have you been enjoying this season?
Yeah. I mean, it's a season of Survivor. I do understand, like, nothing's the same, but at the same time, it feels like everything's the same to me, to be honest. Although I will say the biggest standout and like problem I have with the season so far is that Jeffrey needs a haircut.
That's your number one issue with this season to this point?
Without a doubt.
Yeah. Okay. Does it feel really different to you, or does this just feel like another in the long line of Survivor seasons?
I would say, like, up until this episode, it felt basically the same. Just like every season, there's some weird new thing that happens, whether it's like an island, or like you come back, or like you're not actually voted out. I don't know. So, but I will say, like, generally, I don't have, like, as hard of a time following, like, what's going on as I feel like I am now.
Do you mean that from the perspective of, like, why people are being voted out, or from the perspective of, like, how these twists and advantages and powers work and will impact things?
Oh, yeah, no, I, like, quite literally cannot emphasize enough that, like, it never occurs to me why people are voted out other than, like, what they tell me on the TV show. So, like, if somebody's annoying, then they get voted out for being annoying or just to vote them out. I don't ever think past that, to be honest. But, no, it's, like, all the, like, the working together, not challenge, voting out thing, immunity idol. And, like, that's confusing to me. I don't really understand how that's going to work.
Oh, the three-way idol where they all had to say the magic words?
Yes, yes. Although I really liked them having to say the words. I thought that was funny. But now I kind of just feel like, okay, what happens? And then Liana can just take one if she feels like it. And then Erica can just, like, do whatever she wants, I guess, now.
Yeah, there's a lot going on.
Like, I don't understand. And then I was wondering, I was hoping you could answer this for me, because I was watching it and thinking, there's no, why would she not go back in time, or, like, whatever they're calling it? Like, why would she not do that?
That is a very fair question.
She has to do that, right?
Yes. When the stakes are, you are fully immune if you smash the hourglass, and you are one of six people that is eventually going to become five people after an individual immunity challenge that are vulnerable, and some of those other people might have idols that you don't have or know about even necessarily. This is a complete no-brainer for Erica, and I was actually wondering if that registered with you, if it was something that would be readily apparent to the casual audience of, obviously, she's going to smash this hourglass 100 times out of 100.
Well, that's what I thought, but I didn't want to come in here being like, well, obviously she's going to do that, and then have her not do that. Like, but it does seem like I can find no reason not to do it, exactly like you said.
Right. Yeah, I think it would be incredibly difficult to draw up a situation where whoever was put in this position would feel like there were even many factors worth considering that would lead them to believe that not smashing it made pretty much any sense for them. They would have to have, like, their whole alliance that they feel awesome about be the ones who get totally screwed by it, which is certainly not the case with Erica. And I don't think it would have been the case for pretty much anyone in any kind of, like, permutation of teams you could have drawn up and people you could have sent off to Exile Island here. Now that I've said 100 times out of 100, I'm mentally preparing myself for the one time out of 100 that we somehow show up next week and she doesn't do it. But that would truly be one of the most shocking moments in Survivor history to me if she didn't end up going that route. But as, like, at the risk of overstating it, kind of a philosophical exercise, does this twist, setting aside, like, the confusion element, or the who's going to be vulnerable, who's going to be safe, etc., do you just kind of have an issue in any way with the idea of, we're not really merging and half the tribe is going to be immune and the people who won the challenge are actually going to get totally screwed over by winning the challenge? Setting aside the Erica's decision element of it, is this something that in general is offensive to you? Is probably overstating it, but does this feel like something that is natural based on what you've seen from Survivor in the past? Do you have any issue with this?
It's not nearly as offensive as, like, Jeff talking to me on the screen for a little while, like, before the challenges, like he's been doing. I find that bizarre. But, no, I don't find it offensive. I just kind of find, like, oh, so, like, was there no point in, like, what we just did? I don't know.
Right. That's the thing is, it really
it's, like,
seemed
pointless.
So we got some sort of inside scoop was making the rounds on Twitter before this episode aired, and Dom and I recorded so late last week that we had that kind of information and talked about it at the very end of last week's episode. And the conclusion that we arrived at is, like, what's even the point of running this challenge if the result can just be immediately overturned by the one or two people? We weren't fully clear on the way that it works, but if it can just be, like, taken away from whoever wins it, and that,
right, like, that didn't make sense. And, like, he kept saying, like, you're merged, but not really, but they are merged, aren't they? They're all the same spot now, except for Erica.
I would, yeah, I mean,
just some of them don't have their new outfit yet,
right, and some of them aren't safe, but yeah. And actually, I think they may for a little while have gone off onto separate beaches, but I think they are all back together now at this point.
Right,
and in my mind, yeah,
just for the meal, I think.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So they are merged. That's why I was getting confused. I was like, we're saying, like, you're merged, you're not merged, you're that. The lingo is getting confusing. There are too many options again with the tribe names. It's just all too much.
Yeah, I in my mind they are essentially merged at this point. But yeah, I'm glad to hear that it is translating even to the casual viewers that this is probably going to be a pretty easy decision for Erica, but also glad to hear, and I think I'm on roughly the same page, that I don't feel like having a bunch of people immune is necessarily, like, a violation of the sanctity of Survivor. I totally understand that they want to try a bunch of new things this season. They're going to see what works, what doesn't work. And I have to imagine that this is something that will just continue to evolve over time and is going to be quite rough around the edges as things stand right now. But yeah, so after watching this most recent episode, did you feel like you fully understood what you had just seen? Because to be fair, it sounds like you did understand what you just saw, but I'm not, I think I remember getting a text from you of, like, I'm down to do the podcast this week, but I have no idea what just happened.
Yeah, it just, like, I think I understood everything that was happening. I just couldn't understand, like, why.
Right. Fair.
So, like, I think, like, that's where I was at. And then, but really, this small detail, like, really threw me for a loop. But did they actually do rock, paper, scissors, or did that guy lie?
I believe that guy, Danny, did indeed lie, which seems like you would think.
What an easy lie to get caught in.
Yes.
Why not just say?
Exactly. Yes.
That's why I was like, he can't have just lied for no reason. They, I don't know.
Right. It seems like the people would have been able to see them doing rock, paper, or paper, scissors, rock, as he called it a couple of times there. But yeah, I agree that it seemed like an extremely easy lie to get caught in. And furthermore, I don't know that it's necessarily the best look to kind of take it upon yourself to announce that on behalf of a group of people who did not sign off on you lying on their behalf, and to do so very quickly and very convincingly, kind of at least potentially raising a lot of red flags for a lot of other people still left in the game here at this point. But that's pretty much neither here nor there. But yeah, a lot going on this last week. I'm guessing there's going to be a lot more going on next week when we get to see kind of the fallout from all of this, and find out who really does get super unlucky and become the merge boot this season. Unlucky as far as I would be concerned. I think you could probably make an argument that that's just how Survivor works now. But yeah, lots going on. Lots, I'm sure, going to continue to go on here. But in just kind of zooming out a little bit and getting some of your general thoughts on what got us to this point that we are now at, independent of what the producers are kind of putting them through, who are your favorites from this cast, and are you liking this cast overall compared to an average Survivor cast?
Yeah, I'm into the cast. I think they're interesting. I'm sure you could predict my favorite. I can't remember if I've told you or not, but
Not
I
only
really
can
like
I
seeing.
predict it, sorry to cut you off, I literally did predict it on a preseason podcast that we did many, many, many months ago, when the na all we had were names, ages, and photos of the people, and Dom and I did on the patron feed, just a sight partially seen, like all we have seen of these people are their names and what they look like. And I'm probably paraphrasing here, but I said it's pretty much the lock of the decade that Xander is going to be the casual Anna fan favorite. Has that proven to be the case?
Well, good to know I'm so predictable, but yes, I'm fully on board with Xander.
He's from
He's so
Chicago.
cute. Yeah, I think he might be a little young for me, but we'll see. But yeah, I like him. I like Shan, except for she's kind of like losing it a little bit, I think. And I like weirdly get kind of into the pretty mean girl.
Do you know her name?
No idea.
Okay, that girl,
Ashley.
Sydney, close enough. Sydney was one of the people that I was going to ask if you had any kind of impression whatsoever of. And actually, I didn't pick up on this until rewatching this episode a couple of hours ago at this point, but I thought it was interesting that Sydney this week was the one person shown when they got the merge note saying, "Congrats, you've made it to the next phase of the game. Pack all your stuff, bring the rewards, etc."
Oh, I was
Sydney.
wondering, do they normally tell them that ahead of time? That it's going to be the merge? I feel like they don't, do
That's a
they?
good question. Normally they show up and Jeff then gives them the big drop your buffs reveal.
Yeah.
So this time it was kind of the bait and switch there. But Sydney was the one who said, "I don't know, guys. I don't really trust this. It seems like nothing has come that easy this season."
Wow, she's on to something. See, I think she's good. I mean, she's no doubt, well, I don't want to say no doubt, but she's probably going to be her own downfall because she's not very nice. But at least not very nice on the show. I'm sure she's a lovely person. But I find her to be like entertaining, so I'm enjoying that. And that's basically all I remember. And Ricard. I like Ricard, but like I think Shan's gonna, I don't know. There's something's gonna happen between the two of them, obviously. It's unclear what.
I remember when you were watching last week's episode, you had a big reaction to Nasir unlocking his.
Oh yes, I like him. He's so cute.
Yes, I too am a big Nasir fan as well. Love to see anyone out there just kind of, as far as I can tell, enjoying themselves and just being in the moment as much as he has been. Let me though ask you, did you like the flashback mechanism that they used there, where they totally hid it from the audience until the moment of truth that Nasir was waiting for his moment to unlock that idol?
Yeah, I love that. I really like some of the new things they're doing this season. I really like the family photos and stuff that we're getting, like when we get backgrounds on everybody. I'm liking that, like extra context is I'm really enjoying that. And yeah, the like messing with time a little bit, I do like because it was so exciting. I didn't like I felt like especially with that twist or thing. Like we've been waiting for it to pay off for a while, and I guess it technically like still hasn't. Like nobody's used their idols, but at least finally we got three people saying a bunch of dumb stuff.
Do you know who holds those three idols?
Xander, Nasir, Shan,
Yes.
right?
Very well
Oh,
done.
fresh start.
And do you know, and I don't need you to lay out the specifics of it, and I guess you've already kind of mentioned in passing that this is at least something you are loosely aware of. The advantage Liana got. What do you think about that one? The knowledge is power advantage.
That is the one that I just am kind of not into, to be honest.
Is it because it's confusing or
Well,
overpowered or what?
my question with all of this stuff is when does it happen? Like, is it after they vote? Like, it, is it like a normal immunity idol? And she, like, because she has to ask the person, right? And then they can't lie. And then, so like, who's going to verify that they're not lying, I guess?
I believe it is the case that that advantage will be played after the votes have been cast, but before the votes have been read, much like a hidden immunity idol. And then Jeff will probably be on, he will definitely be on location at that point to make sure that it all goes smoothly there.
Yeah, that makes sense. Also, did you notice that Jeff jumped into the ocean in his sneakers?
I noticed that both during my initial viewing and during my rewatch, and it gave me chills down my spine both times because I absolutely hate wet shoes
wet
and wet socks. Yeah, it's brutal.
Yes.
But hey, Jeff's just so hardcore.
On a beach, like with the sand and all of it. It was just a terrible, like, I don't know.
Jeff's a rugged guy, though. He, you know, that's no sweat to him. Yeah, the knowledge is power one. I still have plenty of questions about myself. Still could see it being a little while before that ends up coming into play, but it could be, I mean, conceivably be as soon as a couple of weeks from now. But yeah, that I think, whenever it does come to fruition there, will be probably one of the defining moments of this season. And I'm guessing you are rooting for that to be played on someone other than Precious Xander, but we will see how that ends up going there. Actually, going back to just kind of the cast overall, do you...
I'm into Liana, too. I kind of forgot about her, but I like her a lot, actually.
That's where I was going, actually. Yeah, is the Liana, Tiffany, and Evie alliance, are you liking them?
Oh, my gosh. Tiffany spoke in Hebrew on this episode.
Yes, she did.
I was like, that has to be the first time I've heard Hebrew on Survivor.
I believe that is the case, although I'm not 100% sure. There is that like a very common Hebrew saying?
I can't remember. I think she just said like, oh, thank gosh, basically, in Hebrew. I can't remember what Hebrew term she used.
I don't remember either. But yeah, that was something I know people were excited about there. And are you an Evie fan?
I'm into Evie, except for when she starts like talking mean about Xander. That's where I hit my line.
Okay, understood.
But I think Xander's gonna leave soon. They like he's not gonna win. So I do like I like Evie, but out of the three of those women, I like Liana the most.
Do you remember the Shan and Liana scene when they were on separate tribes but got together on that like ship wheel place?
Yes, I remember that. They bonded. That was nice. I think that's like when we got Shan's whole backstory, right?
Yes.
Like that. What an incredible story. So, I mean, it seems like Shan's probably gonna win, but maybe not.
Yeah, I thought it was noteworthy that at some point in this episode, Shan has a confessional after they've all arrived at the same beach and she's gotten to reconnect with Liana. They cut to her giving a confessional about how Liana is someone she trusts completely and she's going to have Liana's back 100%. And I thought it was interesting that in that confessional, Shan is still wearing a green buff, indicating, I think, pretty clearly this is something that was shot before they had ever been on the same beach or been on the same tribe, rather. And this is just Shan's reaction to meeting Liana on Ship Wheel Island, that in those couple of hours or however long it was, they already had developed a really deep bond there that is now finally starting to pay off. So I've certainly got my eye on that and feel very good.
I can't
good.
Believe you noticed things like that.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It really stood out to me, and I feel like it is something that is worth flagging up there. I think this Shan and Liana bond is something that is quite likely to be a long-term kind of endeavor there. And then we also saw them come together with Deshaun and Danny as well this
yes.
week. Yeah, what did you think about that?
I'm into it.
Yeah,
I'm
no.
into that alliance. I think it's really cool. Everybody, like, who's casting reality TV is deciding to, like actually be inclusive, and, like, that's pretty cool, and it's been fun to watch.
Yeah, for sure. So let me also ask you to kind of wrap up on the cast overall. Do you know who Heather is?
Are you making, like, is that somebody on this season, or are you trying to trick me?
I am not trying to trick you. Heather is genuinely a person on this season.
Can I have a clue?
No, this is the...
Did they get in trouble, so they're, like, edited out?
No. As far as I know, they did not get in trouble for any reason. But, yeah, Heather has been the kind of standout, totally invisible person. The one thing she got that you might remember is she is the person who was on the blue team when they were in three separate tribes.
She's the older woman.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
No, but, I mean, I don't feel like she's not edited out. They had that big whole big thing about her.
I feel like your initial answer to that question is a pretty good indication of how visible Heather has been. I was going to say, there is probably one specific scene you would remember of Heather, but she has certainly not been nearly as visible as I would say pretty much everyone else to this point. And I honestly wasn't sure if you would necessarily even know Erica's name. I'm sure you would recognize her and recognize this is the person who's making the big decision at the end of the episode. But that whole blue team, other than Nasir, and for a little bit, I think Danny and Deshaun got some kind of highlighting. That whole blue team, I would say, was not invisible, but far less visible than most of the people from Green and Yellow.
Yeah, definitely less familiar with them. But I will say, like, Jeff was very into that, like, Heather moment in the challenge in this episode. I actually laughed out loud, like, when he said this. I was wondering if you caught it. I don't know what was happening and just, like, standard challenge behavior from the teams, but Jeff was, like, in one of the most incredible, like, displays of teamwork on Survivor history or something about, like, people, like, just doing a challenge. I was like, what's happening? Like, did I miss something important that was happening there?
I don't know for sure, but I think it may have been the case that, like, as soon as they drew the rocks to separate themselves into two different teams, it was probably pretty clear to Jeff and the vast majority of the audience right away, okay, this one team is going to wreck this other team at this challenge where they have to dig up a giant boulder and roll it around.
Oh my God, that thing was huge. When Xander got into the, when he got in that hole, it was almost above his head. How tall do you think he is?
I don't know, but I like that you found a way to bring that question up organically just to see.
I didn't even think about it, but that's true.
Yeah, my theory was that Jeff was just doing everything he could to make it seem like the underdog team was crushing too and could make a comeback and shouldn't feel bad if they end up losing, and trying to find some sort of silver lining for what was a pretty straightforward blowout.
Yeah, okay. I just thought it was ridiculous. But yeah, no, I get it.
Yeah. Anna, you know,
Colin.
Yes, I'm trying to frame this in a in a way.
I'm so nervous. Now you're making me sweat.
What is your understanding of the shot in the dark twist? Do you know what I mean when I call it that? And do you know how it works?
It's the dice.
Yes.
And you just roll it and see if you get to stay.
I don't believe you roll the dice. In a roundabout way, rolling
what?
It would be too obvious. Yes, you all get a six-sided die to be kind of like a token for your use of the shot in the dark twist. But instead of rolling that die, which seems so straightforward and obvious. It's absolutely baffling that they didn't go that route, but you just drop your die into some second urn that is up there in the voting booth when you're casting your vote. And the way it works is if you play your shot in the dark, you then don't get to vote, but rather than rolling a die, you just pick a piece of parchment out of a bag or something, and one out of six of the pieces of parchment are going to say safe or whatever. You have a 1 in 6 chance. And again, probably
could have... everybody have a 1 in 6 chance, or like do they refill that parchment paper that gets taken, or like once the shot in the dark gets used?
Unclear. I still am not certain about the...
That seems important.
Yes, I believe it is the case that no matter when you use your shot in the dark, you have squarely a 1 in 6 chance at you yourself drawing the safety parchment or whatever. But yeah, it certainly seems like we could have just rolled the die and like you just make some kind of statement known when you are casting your vote and you don't then cast a vote that you want to use your shot in the dark. But rather than like reaching in for a piece of paper, it really seems like it'd be better if, when Jeff then says, if anyone has an idol or an advantage that they want to play, now would be the time to do so. People who have chosen to use their shots in the dark get up in front of the whole group and roll a big die. I think that would read much better on TV, but maybe they have some other ideas for the mechanics there. But either way, yes, that is the name of the dice twist. And while they are not actually rolling the dice, it does give them a 1 in 6 shot at safety. Are you cool with this sort of thing being in play? Of just not obviously a full freebie, but at any given time, you could just luck your way into a bailout.
Yeah, I don't really care.
Yeah, I think it's fine. I'm surprised they made the odds as low as 1 in 6. I would have thought that they would want it to be a juicier proposition for people and to have a higher chance of shaking up the vote result there. But yeah, this is yet another in a long, long list of just super fluky things that can bail people out on Survivor. So I think,
that it has to happen then, right? If they've told us about it, that means like somebody must roll it. Is that like the assumption, or?
I would be surprised if no one rolled it over the course of the season, but I do imagine that even if no one ever rolled it or it never amounted to anything, they would still tell us about it just because it would be a game consideration for the audience to be aware of, because it'll come up in conversation strategically. And even if, by the way, even if no one rolls it, it is a very good way for the edited version of the show to build up some sort of suspense, even if the person doesn't pull the trigger on using it. The same way we saw as the green team kept going to tribal council after tribal council, a lot of the suspense would often come down to like, is Jeannie going to even use her shot in the dark, and might that be something that bails her out? It's kind of a freebie for the editors, even if the person doesn't use it, because they can build up the idea of what if they do use it.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
Yeah, so I would imagine, even if we somehow go the entire season with no one ever rolling the dice, I would guess that this is something that is going to be around at least for season 42, if not beyond that. And it will probably go through some tweaks the same way that the Hidden Immunity Idol has been tweaked repeatedly over the years there. But yeah, I'm personally a fan of the shot in the dark being in play, at least based on what I think I know about it right now. So one other thing, actually, that I wanted to return to, because this is something, again, that you have texted me about in the past and wanted to get a slightly more detailed answer about this on air. You seem to really not like Jeff talking to the camera and talking to the audience directly.
No.
Yeah. Do you have a...
I hate that.
Why is that?
They did it this time. I don't know. The way they did it this time, like, made me so worried about timing. Like, he was talking while they were coming in. It was very stressful. I was like, he's going to give away whatever secret, they're going to hear him. But I just, it makes me feel dumb. Like, I feel like he's talking to me like I'm dumb.
Yeah, I certainly...
Like, I'm like, I got it, Jeff. You're saying nothing. Like, he's also just, like, not really saying anything.
Yeah, I get that they want to experiment with a bunch of new things, and my biggest concern was that it was going to be largely in situations where the twists are, like, so complicated that it requires Jeff mapping everything out for the audience before and trying to, like, set us up for what to be expecting, because it's going to be just too much for the average fan to wrap their minds around if they're just watching it play out in real time. But I think that
would be helpful, but that's not what he's doing.
Right. It does often feel kind of patronizing, but I think it is yet another thing that is probably a lot for...
It feels like Blue's Clues.
It's for kids, is what I was going to say. I think it is something that they do on children's television quite a bit.
I want him to do something next week where he, like, says, like, and what do you think? And then, like, pause for the kids to talk to the TV. Like, yeah, me too.
I like, you say that jokingly. I don't think it would be impossible for us to be at that point by the time we're at, like, Survivor 45. And actually, along those lines, what, if anything, do you think about the game within the game for junior survivors where these puzzles pop up? Have you noticed this or had any
thought? I have yet to notice them. You told me about them before and, like, sent me one. Yeah, I had no idea.
Yeah, I believe that.
I guess I'm on my phone too much, I think, is, like, what I'm learning, but when are they still happening?
So I have also missed a couple of them, and the one this week was very quick as they were just, like, panning to the challenge, I think it was, or some, it was on top of some hut and was only on screen for, like, 2 or 3 seconds there. And actually, this week's one was probably my favorite of all. The answer was, can I have your jacket? Which I think is a reference you would remember.
Oh my God. Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
Angelica.
Angelina, but close.
Oh.
No, you,
yeah, that seems close enough.
Yeah,
that was hilarious.
Recognizing that and coming up with Angelica, I think, is much more than the average fan is piecing together. So job well done to you there, and I'm not even...
It was pretty iconic. Next, I need to do the peanut butter and Jenna Marasco.
Wow. Look at you, casual Anna, pretending not to know your Survivor history there.
You should know that is the one thing that I always remember.
So I had this and skipped over it earlier and was debating just putting this off because, again, I'm always so self-conscious about sounding, like, demeaning when setting up your Survivor fandom. I genuinely find your perspective incredibly valuable to hear, but I did think it would be potentially fun, and we're going to find out whether this is fun or not, to roll through a couple of names from Survivor history just to see, does this name mean anything to you? So we can kind of put your fandom into perspective for the people listening at home.
Okay.
Let's start with this. Does this name mean anything to you? Amanda Kimmel. Do you know who Amanda is?
No.
She was Parvati's friend on a couple of seasons.
No idea.
Really pretty and tall. Okay. No go on Amanda Kimmel.
No.
How about JT? Does JT mean anything to you?
Yeah.
You know JT. Okay. How about Sophie?
Yeah, that sounds like a familiar name.
Sophie was on...
She's smart.
Yes, exactly. Okay, you got Sophie. That is exactly who Sophie is. How about, and this is the last one, I can stop the torture. How about, does the name Nick Wilson mean anything to you?
I have no idea who that is.
He was on the season with Angelica. And then he won that season and was also on last season as one of the winners at War.
Oh, I do remember. I remember his dad.
Yes, yes, yeah. Oh my God, his dad was so good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So I'm considering that mission accomplished.
That's what,
there.
3 out of 4?
Yeah, you nailed it. So to just that's kind of put, I thought that would be those were 4 people I came up with that I was saying to myself were like right on the casual Anna line of I could easily see this one going either way. So job well done there.
Okay. I do have a clarifying question. JT's the hot guy, right?
JT.
Because then I'm thinking of somebody else.
I don't know if you're, I'm certainly not saying anything disparaging whatsoever about JT's looks. He is a very handsome man, but I don't know that he would have been in the, like, Xander, Alec Merlino kind of casual Anna fan favorite camp for you.
What season is?
So he was on.
I think I'm confusing him with JP from The Bachelor.
Maybe. JT actually played 3 times. He was on Token Sheens, where he won. It was Coach's first season, and he and Steven were best friends, and they, like, ran the whole game. And then he came back for Heroes versus Villains, where he, at the merge, gave Russell Hantz the idol, and that kind of, like, sunk his game. And then came back again.
I don't remember him.
He's a thick Southern accent, kind of Tom Sawyer type.
I'll have to look him up, but I think I was confusing him. I thought he was, like, young and, like, buff and, like, but he's not.
He's certainly not that. Yeah, like, he was the
I feel like you're being nice.
No. Google JT Survivor if you have and see if you recognize that guy. Incidentally, while you were Googling this, here's a fun fact. At least as of a few...
Okay. This is not who I was thinking of, but he's cute.
Yeah, he's certainly not an attractive man. There's no doubt about it, but I don't think he fits into the kind of...
No, it's not who I was thinking of.
Okay, but do you recognize him?
I mean, he looks like a semi-attractive man who played Survivor to me.
Okay, fair enough. The fun fact is, incidentally, at least as of a few years ago, JT was the only Survivor alumni who has the same birthday as me. So shout out to JT. Anyway.
Well, that's very exciting.
Casual Anna.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm forgetting about 1,000 things that we have seen come up along the way here on this season. I guess... Who are you?
It's a shorter season. How?
Yeah. Oh, that's what. Yes. Right, that was where I was trying to go. Thank you. I was like desperately scrolling my notes and not wanting to. I knew there was something major. A couple of things here that I did want to get your takes on. Do you feel like you would have noticed that this season was paced any differently if that was not explicitly presented to you?
Not a chance.
And
I was wondering why they even said that. I was like, no, I would have had no idea. I don't know how long Survivor normally is.
If you had to guess, how long is a normal season of Survivor?
Thirty-nine days
is right. The all-time peak casual Anna moment, by the way, is one of your first podcasts on here. You genuinely not knowing what channel Survivor was on.
No, I knew that it was on Thursday nights, and now it's changed. It's messed me up.
It very recently changed back during season 21, about a decade ago. It changed to Wednesdays there. And I mean, literally, I'm really not trying to like blow up your spot here, but I recently texted you on like a Monday. And your reaction was, wait, is Survivor not on tonight? Because I like asked you some Survivor and then you like tried to watch it that night, but it wasn't on because it's not on on Mondays there. And then the other...
Okay, the problem is, let me tell you the real reason this happens, is because Wednesday night is full of very good TV right now. Like, we have Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, which... there's a lot going on there right now, and it's like Reunion and Real Housewives of else? Oh, The Challenge.
Yeah.
Something else. Now I can't remember.
And Big Brother just wrapped up, and I think that was airing on Wednesdays as well. Wednesdays are a big TV night. And actually,
so Survivor's my last on the list to watch, and so I usually watch it like Sunday. I watched yesterday.
Right. Yeah. and for the record, I believe it is the case that you let some episodes build up before even diving into this season. Didn't you like marathon the first three or four in the same day?
Yeah, well, because I was on a trip, so I was gone. And then I forgot that it was on until you texted me asking if I was liking the season.
Right. Oh, that's right. Yes.
I love Survivor, and it's so fun when it's in front of me, but it's a show that I like don't ever think about as soon as I turn it off.
Right. Right. And I'm the same way with plenty of other shows.
Oh, I will say, I used to think that Survivor was like the reality show I would be worse at. Like, I couldn't think of a show that I could be worse at on TV than Survivor. But now I keep seeing commercials for this show, Tough as Nails. Have you seen these commercials?
Are you talking about the commercials with Boston Rob?
Maybe. But I was like, this is a show I would be worse at than Survivor. They've somehow come up with one.
I think I am pretty squarely in that exact same camp. I mean, I wouldn't be good at Big Brother or The Challenge either, but yeah, the deprivation on Survivor would really put me over the top there. But yeah, Tough as Nails is certainly not my wheelhouse either. Let me ask you for a quick power ranking as a casual fan of all three of Survivor, Big Brother, and The Challenge. What would you say is your order of say you pop into your DVR and you have a new episode of all three of those shows waiting for you. In what order are you going to watch those three shows from favorite to least favorite? Unless you go in a weird
order. Oh, that's easy. The Challenge, Survivor, and then Big Brother.
Okay. Yes, that would be a no-brainer for me as well, although I've been out of the BB streets for a little while at this point. One other question that I had, not entirely unlike the idea of, would you have noticed that it was a shorter days per round if they hadn't explained it to you? Would you have noticed that the conditions were tougher? Like, they're not giving them rice, et cetera. There are fewer just kind of rewards or amenities. Do you feel like if people weren't constantly saying, oh my God, we've had no rice, we have no tarp, whatever, that just people's behavior would have clued you into the fact that this is tougher than normal?
So they normally get rice, right? Like, they used to get those, like, barrels of rice.
Yes.
No, I mean, it's all they're talking about, so, like, I get it. It sucks. And that, like, really long walk that they have to go on seems terrible. But, no, I mean, I'm not really a fan of, like, making people super, super uncomfortable like that. It already seems like it sucks enough, but I guess, how many days is Survivor now if it's not 39?
They have gone from 39 to 26 because the cast all had
to
do.
That's still a long time.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I have for many, many, many years been loudly and annoyingly beating the drum that if anything they should be making it easier on the players than making it harder, but it seems like they're going in hard the opposite direction there. And actually, let me ask you this: would you care if they got like brand new swimwear every 10 days or whatever? Does the presentation of how their clothes get dirtier and weirder looking, does that matter to you at all? Would you object if they just got new clothes every so often?
I feel like I don't even really notice that because they all just wear their little buffs. I would like it if they all had like coordinating outfits, actually.
Yeah.
And I think I could be very into that.
I don't think the rain has been a big factor on this season to this point, but I'm also a huge advocate for in seasons where the rain is a major consideration, just give them rain gear. And they do this on international versions of Survivor, and it makes no difference whatsoever from a TV perspective, but I have to imagine makes it much, much easier for the players out there to not just be totally focused on how much the weather sucks and be willing to...
Wait. Yeah, I've never thought about this before. Like, well, we were talking about Jeff and his socks and his wet shoes. Their feet must get wet. Like, this can't be good for their feet.
Oh, they do every so often, like, close-up zoom
oh,
in on, like, bug bites or people's pruny skin because they've just been soaked forever. Yeah, it's brutal times that, as far as I'm concerned, adds pretty much nothing to the show and just makes it so much harder for people to...
Have you ever watched other countries Survivor?
Like, yeah, oh, yeah.
Specifically Spain to see Logan?
No, I have not seen Survivor Spain, or I know Turbo was from Survivor Turkey.
Yeah. And, Turkey.
Yep. But I am big time in the streets on Survivor South Africa, which is outstanding, and was a big fan of Australian Survivor until it just became a full-blown twist fest pretty much every single episode, and I completely lost interest. So really hoping that US Survivor does not go that direction. And thus far, I am still willing to very much grant that, like, they want to shake things up. They're not committing to this is going to be the way it's always done for every season going forward. We're just trying a bunch of new stuff. We'll see what works. We'll see what doesn't work. Tweet at me if you want. I'm never going to read it. From Jeff.
In a perfect world, like, what would you want your Survivor season to look like? Like, just like the early seasons with nothing going on?
No, absolutely not. And I think that's one of the most commonly cited kind of straw men that are propped up from the people who are more okay with twists just kind of dictating pretty much everything that happens, is that I don't think there's pretty much anyone who is making a case that it should just forever go back to basics and the days of Richard Hatch. I totally understand why that's ridiculous. What's that?
Well, that would be a little problematic.
Yes. But no, I don't think there's anyone who wants it to just go back to being like the early 2000s version of Survivor. I am very happy to grant that they, of course, need to try new stuff every so often. And spice it up and find things that work and recognize that plenty of things are not going to work and we can brush them aside and that's all good. What I really object to, though, is, for instance, the Final Four fire making challenge in general, but more so it just falling from the sky to bail out Ben Dreebergen, or this week, like, you win the immunity challenge and you get your merge buff and you get your merge feast and it just gets taken away from you. I think that is way too extreme for me. And
you think he's going to make them throw up all their
I was wondering if they were going to have to give back their buffs, but I think you may have just taken it a step further than that. Yeah. I don't have like a perfectly mapped out answer of the number of twists or the types of twists that I want on an average season of Survivor, but what I don't want
travel is not on
right. It is being able to just reverse everything that happened and none of it matters anymore. And now the people who just did what they had no reason not to believe they were supposed to do are completely screwed. Or like Edge of Extinction. Do you remember the Edge of Extinction?
Yeah.
You go
there and you come back.
Right. I'm not into people getting voted
out.
Did you
like the other one where they would fight to come back with Ozzy?
Right. Redemption Island was not too big on that either.
Right?
Similar. Very similar things. Yeah. That to me is a step too far. And again, I don't have the blueprint of what I wish every season of Survivor was. And I'm sure if I did, it would contain plenty of things that did not exist back in the early days. And I would be very cognizant of the fact that, like, and as time progresses, we're going to need to change this up a bit. It, to me, what I really want to avoid is stuff that like violates the fundamental premise of why we're here in the first place and what made this show so compelling to begin with. So sorry if that's like an unsatisfying answer, but I think we are rapidly approaching the point where there's just too much going on that is so antithetical, if I'm using that correctly, not sure 100%, if that's the word that I'm going here for, to just what made Survivor beautiful, I guess, to me in the first place. And it feels like, at least I am very nervous, that season after season after season, we're just going to get further and further away from that, the same way that, for my money, Big Brother did. And I'm also very happy to grant that Jeff Probst is not Alison Grodner, and I am deeply traumatized by watching Big Brother go from...
Who's Alison Grodner?
She's the executive producer of Big Brother, where as soon as she took over as the showrunner, it just went to hell for the most part. But I definitely do want to acknowledge that so many of my concerns that I have been voicing for many, many years at this point about Survivor are based on having seen exactly what happened to Big Brother, where we start breaking the game and we start pandering to little kids, and the show slowly but surely just becomes legit unwatchable to me. And I'm so nervous that Survivor could, in the darker timelines, go that route. But we are certainly not there or anywhere close to there yet. And I now am super self-conscious that I'm ending this podcast on a very pessimistic note. But overall, I do...
Well, I still like Survivor, so...
And so do I. And the thing is, like, as long as the casts keep being this compelling, I'm willing to tolerate a huge amount of trial and error for what the show is going to be going forward. And I really hope that the producers are of that mindset of, we'll try a bunch of stuff, we'll see what works, we'll see what doesn't work, we'll constantly evolve, and hopefully over time figure out what this new version of Survivor is. That's totally cool with me. So, Casual Anna, anything else that you wanted to get to over the course of this now hour-long podcast? Sorry for keeping you here this long.
No, it's fine. No, I think, like, I am overall enjoying it. Like, I'm happy Survivor's back. And I really can't stress enough, like, how badly Jeff needs a haircut. Like, do you think that he'll have one by the time, like, they... the finale? Like,
I would imagine.
I just keep wondering every week if he's going to have his haircut, but I think it's not.
Well, again, I think this is all being filmed a long time ago, where even like getting a haircut was a risky proposition. So I do not know.
Oh, really?
That, like,
when did they film this?
I don't know. Many, many, many months. They've already filmed. They filmed this season and the next season. I don't know when. I'm going to say like.
Wait, they've already finished the next season, so how do they know what's going to work and what's not going to work, of like which things to do again?
They don't. For season 42, it's really season 43 and beyond are going to be the ones that I would guess get adjusted based on the reaction to this current season. I'm going to ballpark it at they filmed both of those seasons essentially back to back in like March, April, May, somewhere around there. So it's been quite a while. But I would imagine that Mullet Jeff is probably not here to stay. Although
not even Mullet Jeff, it's like Justin Bieber Jeff.
I was too late for Justin Bieber, and I don't know that reference, but it appears to me.
Oh, okay, I'm sure.
I know the name. Come on, I know the name Justin Bieber.
Yeah, no, okay, well, okay, you're so cool.
Okay,
I don't know who Justin Bieber is.
I obviously know who Justin Bieber is. What I mean is, I don't know which haircut.
Okay.
I feel like the Justin Bieber I've seen, he has like bleach blonde hair in recent years.
Okay, yes, in recent years, but remember, like when he was a little kid, he had like this long hair. It's like a little like cute thing.
I wouldn't say Jeff has that haircut. I would have said Jeff has just like.
Well, Jeff's wearing a baseball cap and wet sneakers, but it's like all flipping out the side of his hat.
Okay, I'm going to have to do some Justin Bieber Googling, I guess, and then watch as all of my algorithmic results are then altered for the rest of my life now that I'm one of the youths again. But yeah, I obviously know who Justin Bieber
is. I come out on TikTok. Yeah, okay, yeah, you tried to be like,
I did not, no, I did not. What I did not know was whatever new mullet haircut
he had. I do think
he'd
be into his wife.
What's that?
I do think he'd be into his wife. She's worth a follow. Oh, if you had an Instagram.
I don't. But Casual Anna, let's put your Instagram out there, because I know that's pretty much the only reason you come on this podcast is so people will go and follow you on Instagram. So audience members, please go give Casual Anna a follow. What is it? Just your name?
Yeah. Just ANNAKLEMPERER.
Yes, so definitely do. Go follow Casual Anna on Instagram. Anna, I don't have an Instagram. I doubt I will ever have an Instagram. But if I did, I would follow you. So,
unlike Twitter, what would it take for you to get an Instagram?
This is...
What if... Can we make a bet? Like, if Jeff does the Silent Blues Clues thing, can you get an Instagram?
Okay. That I will commit to. That I will say, if Jeff does the Blues Clues, what do you think? Give me your answer, and just pauses. I will get
either
an
that
Instagram.
Or if he makes them throw up their...
The answer, though, and no one cares, other than apparently you, but I couldn't get at Colin Stone on Instagram. It was already taken, and I don't want to settle for anything less than that. And furthermore, I have nothing to Instagram. I have no photos of anything cool going on.
Isn't it true? Like, you could Instagram for the podcast. Like, it's just another way to get your content
Instagram,
out there, buddy.
What, Anna? What am I taking pictures of?
Whenever you post a new episode or something.
All right.
Like, nobody has Facebook anymore.
I think you mean Meta.
right, no, of course.
Yeah, no, I mean, anyone this deep into the podcast, I'm not...
Or get a TikTok.
I was on TikTok for like a week. I didn't make any TikToks, but I downloaded TikTok for like a week at the beginning of quarantine. And it was honestly kind of cool. But
I was a TikTok star. One of her videos has 1.3 million views, is my sister.
No way.
Yeah, doing her hair.
That's crazy. Do you want to plug your sister's TikTok
and watch her get a million more followers
than you?
No, no. If just like 1/10 of those people followed me. Gosh, I made a mistake. Can we edit this out?
Absolutely not. I mean, the thing is, I just feel too old.
She's going to listen. That's going to be the problem.
I feel like I have nothing to take pictures of, to speak of, and don't really care about seeing other people's photos. So I have been very happily Instagram free for a long time. But one more time.
Such a crotchety old man.
I know.
My mom has a great Instagram.
Your mom has a great Instagram?
Yeah.
That I believe. So...
Join Instagram now.
I'm just too old and too
Don
cool.
Don has a great Instagram.
What is it? Is cat a lot?
Yeah, it's so cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go Google Justin Bieber and find out about this kid I've been hearing so much about. One more time, follow Casual Anna on Instagram at ANNAKLEMPERER. Hopefully I spelled that right.
Crushed it.
Nailed it. I am on Twitter, though, if anyone would be interested, at Colin Stone.
Don't follow.
What's that? Casual Anna has been off
Actually,
Twitter for a long time.
If everybody can just tweet at Colin to get an Instagram, that'd be great.
It does not matter how many people tweet at me. I'm not going to do it. So
okay, Jeff.
Yeah, that's right. I'm just going to hang out here with my mullet and my wet shoes and just pretend I'm happy. Dom and I believe, are going to be back next week, and we will get into a lot more detail about all that we've seen to this point for part one of the merge and whatever the hell we end up seeing next week. So thank you guys for sticking with us this long. And thank you, Casual Anna, for sticking with me this long.
Anytime. Always a pleasure. Thank you
Yes.
for having me.
Truly one of the most requested guests of the podcast each year. Great times. We will talk soon, meaning you and I, Anna, and then to the audience, I would imagine we will be talking. All right, this is going really well. So if you could just like laugh over it. Okay. Audience, thank you guys for making it this far as well. We will be back next week. Until then, take care, everybody.